This morning, we are going to read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 31. I read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 25. Now, concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I am offering direction as one who, by the mercy of the Lord, is trustworthy. I think, then, that this is good in view of the present distress. And it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to betrothed or fiancé? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from your fiancé? Don't seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet, such a person as yourselves will have trouble in this life. And I am trying to spare you. But as I say, brothers, the time has been shortened, so that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who die as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the present form of this world is passing by. This is the word of God. Let's look into a little bit of the backdrop of this letter to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had written Paul a letter in which a number of specific problems about the marriage were raised. So Apostle Paul answers them one by one. The questions must be clearly set before them for anyone in order to intelligently to understand and interpret Paul's replies. So we are in that same boat. The one of these questions is whether a single or virgin life is wrong. Well, Apostle Paul pointedly says that it is not wrong, but good. Morally good in the sight of God. So, it's easy. Any one of us will get a one-sided view of Paul's teaching on marriage, including those Corinthian church members, unless he or she keeps a proper perspective. One of the marks of certain heretics will be forbidding the man to marry. Well, in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, same thing. Even nowadays, Roman Catholic Church still keeps that heresies. But Paul, as intended by the Creator God, uses the marriage as a metaphor of our relation to Christ Jesus. So, Paul is not here opposing marriage, only he is arguing that celibacy may be good in certain limitations and under certain circumstances. now from the portion begins with verse 25 through all the way to 31. Specifically, Paul deals with, in summary form, how to view our Christian present life. But the base should not be present life. It has to be from eternity. So in other words, every one of us as Christian must face daily life as if we are living eternal life. In other words, we are living daily and time basis. In other words, from eternal point of view, we are counting every day to meet our Lord whose second coming is at hand. So I put the title of today's chosen text, Have a Radical End Time Outlook on All of Present Life. Have a radical end time outlook on all of our present life. Then we will set aside any contemporary worldly point of view. Those who live their present life moment by moment. In opposite to their worldview, we are living from eternal perspective. And we are approaching that final time when Jesus comes again to renew the heavens and earth, to establish his kingdom in the renewed whole planet earth. So, for Christians, present life is transitory from temporal life to eternal life. We have that sure perspective and sure hope and assurance that the life hereafter is incomparable to our daily grinding present life. So let us never lose that sight of eternal perspective. Here, Apostle Paul, regarding that marriage matter, gives them specific examples with principle and advice. Concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I am offering direction as one who, by the mercy of the Lord, truthful or trustworthy. So Pastor Paul gives general direction to those virgins. And verse 26, those virgins are facing your future upcoming marriage life. But Paul said in verse 26, in view of the present distress or present necessity or present external circumstances or inward sense of duty, troubles are anywhere, persecutions are anywhere. So in that sense, present distress must be understood. Because those who desire Indeed, to live in a godly in Christ Jesus will be surely persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. It is not optional. It is of necessity. The distress will come upon all true Christians, because all true Christians want to live, desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, because they are following the footsteps of their Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ faced opposition. Definitely, his followers, we must face oppositions in the form of most likely persecutions and sufferings and afflictions. So that causes Corinthian Christians, including Apostle Paul, including 21st Christians like us, present daily life inducing distress. As long as we live physically on earth, we will carry with us the burden of present life distress. We cannot get rid of it. Rather, from eschatological end time perspective, we must face it squarely. In that perspective, present radical end time outlook on all of this life, Apostle Paul says, it is good for a man. Your virgin means male, female, unmarried, pure virgin, to remain as he is or as she is. That main theme throughout chapter 6 and 7 are this: stay, remain as you are, as you were called by the Lord to be a saint in Jesus Christ. Do not try to change. As a slave man, you accept your status. As a free man, accept your status. Just try not to change, cause trouble. Be satisfied with God's call in your given status. Because in Christian perspective, your master, if you are slave, your master and you in the Messianic kingdom are both brothers to Jesus Christ, our eldest brother. Just for the present time, while you are living physically here, you have a relationship as a master and as his slave. But try not to change it. Just keep in Christian radical end-time perspective. Then your master will become like a brother to you, treat you well in Christian manner. As a slave, you will serve your master, not eye-pleasing, wicked servant, but do to him as you do to Jesus Christ your Lord. See? So remain as you are called. That's main theme. Out of that main theme, Apostle Paul says, it is good for a man to remain when you are called to be Christian. If you are virgin man, you are virgin woman, stay where you are. Are you bound to a wife? Here, to wife means betrothed, fiancé, not already married wife, no. Do not seek to be released. Do not break up your betrothed. Are you broken up from your betrothed? from your fiancé, then do not seek a wife. Try to not to find another fiancé. Verse 28. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such people, those who are married themselves, will have trouble in this life. And as your spiritual father and mother, I, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the mercy of God giving you my advice, because I'm trying to spare you. So regarding those who are still virgins, unmarried, those who are betrothed but have not consummated in marriage yet, to them, Apostle Paul gives advice, stay where you are. He gave them three reasons why you'd better stay where you are. Try not to change your status, becoming married or releasing from betrothal. Here, present distress. That's the first foremost reason. And those distress accompany life causing troubles. And verse 29, he gives a second reason. Time has shortened. In other words, time has been compressed since we have believed Jesus first time. That's the second reason. So that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they have none. And those who weep, as though they did not weep. And those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And those who use the world, as though they did not make full use of it. Here comes the third reason for giving such clear-cut advice. For the present form of this world is passing by. That's the third reason. This present form of world is passing by. Apostle John, in his epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, he says that, do not love the world therein, that each fleshly desire. Those who love the world and its fleshly desires, they do not belong to God. They cannot love both God and the world and its fleshly desires. They have to choose either one. And verse 17, John continued to say, the world with its fleshly desires will pass away. The same Holy Spirit inspired Apostle John and Apostle Paul. So they have same perspective, radically eschatological end time perspective. Present form of world will pass by very quickly. But those who do the will of God shall remain forever. That's what John Apostle says. That is what we should keep our sight of that eternity. Those who do the will of God shall remain, while present form of this world, though we are in it, we are not of it, will pass by us. Let the whole world, its fleshly desire, will let pass by us. But we who always desire to do the will of our Heavenly Father, by His grace, we shall remain forever. Those who believe in me shall never die, Jesus says. In that spiritual perspective, we must keep in mind Apostle Paul's that merciful, gracious regions, three regions, why we may remain, stay when we are called to be Christians. Betrothed, do not seek to be released. Already released, do not seek to betroth another woman. Stay, remain as you are. Because those three specific reasons are overwhelming you, overwhelming all Christians. Because as long as we follow footsteps of Jesus Christ, all who live godly in this present world in Jesus Christ shall face persecutions, present form of distress, accompanying troubles. Now, Apostle Paul goes on giving them five specific categories of Christian life in this passing by transitory present world. First, second, third are more or less related to marriage, couples, or families. First one, from now on, those who have wives should be as if they had none. In your marriage or family life, keep your end time radical perspective always in mind so that your marital life will not shake up your perspective on eternal life. Because marriage life is transitory, temporal. After second coming of Jesus Christ, all we will live like angels. There is no marriage boundary, no couples separated from each other. We will be all one family members by the blood of Jesus Christ. So marriage life, family life is only transitory. We have to keep in mind so that out of marriage, any kind of troubles should not shake up our stable, unchanging faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Second form is those who weep as if they did not weep. Weeping in family. Family member dies. Or newborn baby stillborn. All those things in the family. There we weep. But Apostle Paul says, as if they did not weep. Do not make your close family relationship hinder you from clinging to our eternal Heavenly Father and our relationship, your relationship to Jesus Christ. That is radical end-time perspective to maintain our stable daily spiritual life in this world. though not of the world. The third one also still related to the marriage or family. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Newborn baby. Another grown-up's marriage. Those things give us joy. But Apostle Paul says, from your perspective, radical end-time perspective, act, live as if they did not rejoice. Friends, Jesus took that radical perspective. That's why he took shameful, unbelievable suffering on the cross. We must have the same eternity as our perspective. Number four, those who buy as if they did not possess. They are related to our material possessions, things visible and invisible when we live in this world. We are aliens, passers-by. We are travelers. Then we are not wrapped up with those material possessions as if they are ours. No, they belong to true owner, our Creator God the Father. We are given temporarily those things to glorify Him as His faithful stewards. We were never owners of those possessions. They belong to true owner, our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, the fifth, those who use the world, this transitory passing by world, as if they did not make a full use of it. Definitely, this whole world and each fleshly desire will pass by. We may not consider living in this world forever, as if there is no future, no tomorrow. Well, Apostle Peter confessed with other apostles to Jesus, "Behold, we have left everything, followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or farm, for my sake, for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Mark 10, verses 20 through 30. That's what Jesus made that precondition to become true follower, true disciple of Jesus Christ. We all belong to that group. Then, from radically eschatological perspective, we will wholeheartedly accept those five categories of present world life without difficulties, so that we may keep a balanced view of present life while waiting earnestly the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul's that proper view of marriage and present life gave direction to Corinthian troubled church members, and may that give us same perspective so that we may keep calm, sure hope for the future life hereafter, while we remain faithful stewards as tenants of present world, to serve our Lord, Master, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for giving us this life, so that we may serve you more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, so that at his appearing, we may give all glory and honor to him, and he will in return give us reward for our faithful service to him. In terms of a married life, couple's life, or single life, or whatever forms you have given us, we serve for God's glory, not indulged in our own desires and interests. May our that radical end time perspective keep us balanced, not losing our sight of you. Father, grant us more strength, wisdom through your Holy Spirit, that we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our gracious Lord Jesus Christ. In his name alone we pray. Amen.